This morning we have a number of scripture readings. Let's turn in our Bibles. I'll be reading from the ESV. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 through 9, 13 to 22. Then we'll turn to Isaiah 61, and then read from the last book of the Bible, from Revelation chapter 21. Hear now God's holy word, Isaiah chapter 60, beginning at the third verse through the ninth verse. And now nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastlands shall hope for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Now jump to verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it. Chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now turn with me to the last book of God's Word, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And there we'll read beginning at verse 6 to the end of the chapter. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 6. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance, like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thanks be to God for his word. Well, our sermon text is not from any of all those texts that we read. Now let's turn to the Gospel according to Luke. And turn with me to Luke chapter 4. And I hope as soon as we read from God's word here in Luke 4, that it will make sense, the different verses that I read to you. Luke chapter 4, let's begin at verse 16 and read through verse 21. Luke chapter 4, beginning at 16 through verse 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Thus far our reading from God's word. Let's bow our heads before we open it. Our gracious Father in heaven, your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Our Father in heaven, we ask in Christ's name that by the Holy Spirit's power, you would speak to us today. Be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage from Luke that I read to you is probably well known. We think that this is the passage that inaugurated Jesus' public ministry. It was his announcement. It was his calling card, very different from the elders' introduction of me. That was supposed to be humor. It won't happen again. The meaning of this account is crystal clear. In this passage, Jesus proclaimed his Messiahship. Listen to 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed." Then in verse 21, just a few verses later, he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." When Jesus pronounced, "It is fulfilled," he told us about himself. He is the Messiah foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Now, Luke's narrative is only a snippet of the much longer passage that Jesus read from Isaiah 61. The longer section would clearly have included chapter 60, the verses that we read. And chapter 60 opens up a number of promises for us. Let's look, first of all, today at five blessings that God has for his people from the prophet Isaiah. Five blessings that the Lord has from the prophet Isaiah. These blessings are showered upon God's people. Now, at the time of the prophet Isaiah, Israel was in fact in deep trouble. And each of the five blessings that Isaiah mentioned, they all seemed impossible. The first blessing was a promise of a multitude of Gentiles coming into Israel. Look with me at Isaiah 60, verses 3 through 5. There Isaiah prophesied, "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising, that the wealth of the Gentiles will be gathered in, and the Gentiles shall proclaim praises of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, when Jesus finished his public ministry, when his death upon the cross was accomplished, and he was resurrected from the dead, he fulfilled what Isaiah had prophesied. And this passage applies directly to us, all of us in this room. We are those Gentiles that Isaiah had in mind so many centuries ago. The second promise comes from verses 6 through 9, still Isaiah 60. And that was that God's people were to inherit massive wealth and prosperity. Great wealth was in view. Now, in those days, there were no money market accounts or stock portfolios, but they had plenty of stock, livestock. Wealth was counted by owning camels and great flocks of sheep and goats. Another great source of wealth then, as well as now, is land. They will possess the land not just for a few years or even for a few generations, but forever. The wealthy recipients of God's promise also had deposits of precious metals. In verse 17, God promised that their bronze would be transformed to gold, that their iron will be changed to silver. And this prophecy is not meant to be understood literally in terms of some cheap trick of an alchemist. The promise is that whatever good things there were, like bronze and iron, they will be transformed to the best. The third promise comes from verses 14 and 16. And there God's people are to receive joy and the removal of all that is sorrowful in life. God says that the wicked oppressors shall come and bow down to the godly afflicted. At that time, there were those who were forsaken by friends and family, and they will be joyful, and peace will govern. With a break in the text, the joy continues at verses 20 and 21. There will be a complete absence of sorrow. Fourthly, there's a special blessing relative to the sun. In verses 19 and 20, we hear these words, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither the moon by night, but the Lord himself will be your everlasting light and glory." This prophetic vision involves a transformation that is beyond anyone's normal imagination. We can understand great wealth. We can understand a time of no sorrow and plenty of joy. But the absence of the sun while there's still light, that transcends the feeble imagination of any adult in this room. And then, fifthly, finally, with a powerful conclusion, we hear of the great coming Messiah's completed work in verse 22. The pronouncement is made, "I will do this." Here Isaiah painted a picture hundreds of years before the incarnation where there was a vast multitude of God's people where peace governed and where God's children had all that a heart could desire. However, those of us in this room ask, and it's not impious, well, when did any of this actually occur 2,000 years ago at the time of the resurrection? Has God actually turned bronze into gold? And the answer is yes, in part. Yes, in part, for we Gentiles are a component of Isaiah's prophecy. The fulfillment of the prophecy is in Christ, but not yet in its fullness. To understand what Christ says in the Gospel of Luke, we have to turn to Jesus' words again. But this time, from the perspective of the last book of the Bible. Our second main point this morning are to look at the great blessings that are ours in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. Revelation 21 and 22. In an amazing fashion, perhaps as I was reading from Isaiah and from Revelation, you picked up on some of the similarities between these texts. Well, in fact, the five promised blessings of Isaiah 60 are exactly promised again in Revelation 20 and 21. Let's read how this New Testament text is broken into the same five categories. The prophetic fulfillment includes, number one, the vast nation of the Gentiles. The prophet Isaiah pronounced many years earlier, "The Gentiles shall come to your light." Then in Revelation 21, verse 24, we read, "The nations will walk by its light." Isaiah had said, "The wealth of the Gentiles shall be gathered in." Revelation 21:26 says, "The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it." Amazing parallel. But Isaiah's second prophecy was to inherit wealth and property. And look at Revelation 21:7. There we read, "He who overcomes will inherit all this." Isaiah elaborated that wealth by means of flocks and transformation of bronze to gold and iron to silver. But what do we read in verse 11 of Revelation 21? There the city is described. Its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. A few verses later, verse 18, it's described as a city of pure gold. Now, isn't this a great visual image, especially here in Pittsburgh when we've got the pothole season? The streets are paved with translucent gold. We can imagine that, and we can see it with the eyes of faith. A city, you know, as Janice and I were driving by, we went through the skyline, and we both said, what a nice skyline. I'd rather have the skyline in Revelation. How about you? That's the city that we look forward to with the eyes of faith. Isaiah's third prophecy was that the forsaken will be joyful and there will be no sorrow. What do we read in Revelation 21, verse 4? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What causes human pain? What causes our suffering? What's the opposite of joy? All of these things, our suffering, our pain, has come to us because of sin, from our first father Adam's sin. But Revelation 22:3 tells us this: no longer will there be any curse. So part of Isaiah has come, but the fullness of Revelation is yet to come. Brothers and sisters, a day is coming when we will not experience the suffering and the sorrow that is ours because of sin. But yet there's more. The fourth blessing is adding amazing to amazing. There will be no sun in Isaiah. Isaiah says, "For the Lord himself will be your light." But look at the parallel blessing at Revelation 21, verses 23 and 25. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. And then Revelation 22, verse 5 says this: there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. What a beautiful visual image. But finally, the fifth promise: God's work will be completed. Isaiah said, "I will do this." And what does Jesus say in Luke 4? Jesus said, "Today in your hearing." But what does Revelation 21:6 tell us? Jesus spoke again, and he said, "It is done. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Brothers and sisters, these five parallel blessings from the prophet Isaiah and the book of Revelation are no mere coincidence. There's not a chance of that happening. Jesus knew the events still to be written in the book of Revelation when in Luke 4 he said, "It is completed." Jesus is the God-man, and God wrote the Bible, the whole Bible. And he wants us today to see the continuity between the earlier prophetic teaching of Isaiah concerning the coming Messiah, Jesus' teaching while he was on the earth, and the glorious information about Christ's completed work found in the book of Revelation. This text demands that we know with our minds and that we believe with our hearts the great benefits that are ours in the risen Jesus Christ. Isaiah made great prophetic promises, but Jesus gives to his people even more than that which was found in Isaiah. Our third and final point this morning is that those blessings apply to our friends and our relatives who are now enjoying the vision of Christ in heaven. John informs us in his gospel at chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. You perhaps remember these words. "Lord," they asked Jesus, "show us the Father." Jesus replied, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Brothers and sisters, believers who have left the earth, who are in heaven, now get to see his face. And Christians have always wanted to see God. Remember meek Moses? He could have anything he want, and all he wants to do is to see God's face. And he was only permitted to see his back. Jesus' disciples want to see God. And brothers and sisters, those who are in heaven are seeing him even now. And that promise is specifically given to us at Revelation 22, verse 4. Revelation 22, 4. "And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." So those who are in heaven have received back that which Adam lost. What could Adam do before the fall? He could walk with God and talk with God in the middle of the garden. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, regained that massive and terrible loss for us. A second heavenly blessing is that Jesus Christ is the reigning King, and believers will reign with him forever. Once again, Revelation 19 tells us, verse 6, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." And at verse 19, verse 16, it says, "On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Jesus Christ is the risen King, and those who are in heaven are co-ruling with him. A third heavenly blessing is to live in a magnificent city, described in verses or chapters 21 and 22 as superior to anything that could have been imagined by Christ's disciples back in Luke or in Matthew. Brothers and sisters, it is most wise for us today to see our own lives in the faith and histories established way back in Isaiah's message. God had us in mind when Isaiah spoke prophetically. And with Isaiah's words ringing in our ears, we hear in a new way Jesus' teaching. Close your eyes and see John's vision, a vision of comfort and of beauty found in Revelation 21 and 22. This new city is the future for us. But for loved ones who have died, it's present reality. And in a sense, this future reality is present for us too, because the Bible teaches us that we have been seated with him even now in the heavenlies. Since we've tasted Christ's comfort in part here on the earth, and future promises are certain, waiting for us in the future, then, brothers and sisters, by faith, we walk according to that reality. The past and the future need to impact our present walk with Christ. And there are at least two ways that we can apply the Bible's teaching to our daily lives. First, a promise was made in both Isaiah and Revelation. And each adult in this room is concerned with issues of wealth, issues of family prosperity. All of us have financial needs and financial problems. And the promise of wealth is not for financial ease and great earthly prosperity. No, the incarnate King of Kings, while he was on the earth, had neither. But what he is offering to us is, in fact, financial and personal security. He is God Almighty, and he is in control of all the vast details of international finance, as well as the details of each of our family's financial situation. Now, another promise that we can take home in our lives is the promise made by Isaiah and seen in Revelation to receive joy. And there are times in our families when we celebrate and have joy. For example, when a child celebrates a birthday. A few months ago, our family of all girls rejoiced in a wedding. And just a few days ago, the Panicellis rejoiced in celebrating a wedding. And there are some good reasons to celebrate weddings and birthdays. They are joyous occasions. And any celebration involves anticipation and preparation for the upcoming event. So while a three-year-old's birthday may not take much work, even the most humble and low-key wedding takes weeks of planning. But what Christ offers us is present, day-to-day, continual joy. Not the fleeting kind of joy that comes from a birthday party or a joyous wedding. And this fact relates to what we have in Jesus Christ. It's my hope that we can see Sunday after Sunday, Sabbath after Sabbath, to be like many weddings. Through each and every week, we face toil at our jobs. We earn bread for our families. We maintain our houses. We cook and we clean. But Christ gives us Sunday to rest our weary bodies and gives us a time to rejoice. This is the day when we can hear his voice in a special way and even now begin to taste heavenly fellowship. Together, let's enter into our great Messiah's peace, his wealth, his comfort, and his rest. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Christ is King. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is our Lord. And we are so thankful that as he began his ministry, he said, "Today in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled." He had, in fact, not yet done it. Oh, but it was as good as done because he is King of Kings. And he was even before his public ministry. Lord, that was 2,000 years ago. And now you have united us to the risen Christ by the Holy Spirit. We ask, O Lord, that you would increase our faith, that it would be sight, that we would walk the streets of the heavenly Jerusalem even now, that we would see the streets that are paved with gold, that we would see the strong walls with layer after layer of precious stones, and that we would find peace and comfort in the light of lights who is Jesus Christ, and that the place is coming soon where there will be no night, there will be no tears, there will be no sorrow. So together we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we ask that we might see this reality even now. as together we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hearts and our minds.